Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin from the Hinton Alliance Church, and
I'm Pastor Ryan,
and we're here together to bring to you some thoughts and to revisit Sunday's message and hopefully maybe ponder a few things about it and maybe dig up a few other things that maybe we didn't have time to say in the service. And so this is our way of kind of rethinking and reshaping and wandering through the message and hopefully learning some new things. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you can enjoy the journey with us. And so we look forward to spending this next half hour with you. And Lord willing, you'll be blessed as well.
Happy Tuesday, Kevin.
Yes, thank you very much. And Merry Christmas to you and yours, Ryan.
Merry Christmas. We are almost there, hey?
Yep, it's coming. It's around the corner.
It is just around the corner. I know the kids are excited to, you know, we're down to where we can count on our hands. How many days until Christmas?
Single digits.
10 days away now.
Yes. All right. Yep. All right. What was the 10th day of Christmas? 10 Lords of Leaping?
Yeah.
Right. Is that what it is? So do some leaping today,
do
shall
some
we?
Leaping.
There we go.
There we go.
Fit into the Christmas spirit. Yeah. Now we're glad we have our kids here with us from Amsterdam.
Yes, that's exciting.
And, you know, in these days of rare travel, it's so nice to have them here. So yeah. It's really wonderful. Mm-hmm. We're having a great time together.
That's awesome.
Enjoying some awesome meals that my son-in-law, he's an amazing chef.
Yes, I know we are looking forward to hopefully end of these restrictions soon so we can enjoy some of that.
Right.
I've seen pictures of some of the food he's been cooking.
Yeah, it
looks amazing.
The pictures do it little justice because the taste of it is even better.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Mm. Well, last Sunday, we carried on with our topics of from a book of Ephesians, and we talked about the shape of how we're to think. Really, this whole passage has to do with thinking and why we do what we do and getting our heads around why we need to think a certain way in order to bring change.
Right.
Right? The changes that God wants take a certain mindset. And so I think that's where we headed on Sunday. Well, I know that's where we headed on Sunday. And there were some things that, of course, we didn't get to dive into because of time restrictions. I felt like I was actually overtime already. And I didn't even go down some of these trails. But this whole idea of how you think, as you think, so you are, right? I think that's from the book of Proverbs, if I'm not mistaken. As a man thinks inside his heart, so he is.
Right.
And it's so true. How you perceive your Christian walk, what you actually think about it, is directly connected to how you live it out or how you experience its freedom too.
Right, definitely. Right?
And I think it's very important that whenever we start going through these last three chapters of the book of Ephesians, we hinge it to the prayer that comes at the end of chapter 3.
Right.
Because it's all about God doing more in your life than you could imagine, ask or think, really is the other word that you could use there in the same spot. Mm-hmm. So it really is how you think and what you're looking for in your Christian experience. And I feel sometimes concerned for our hectic pace that we live. And, you know, honestly, in some ways, this whole thing of COVID, which has been horrible,
right?
Some of it has been okay. And that is it slowed our lives down and it's really slowed it down now.
Slowed it down, yeah.
And the cracks in our character are exposed. And even in relationships we have become noticeable.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, no one wants to go through those hardships and no one wishes those things on anyone. But at least you know they're there and you can do something about it if you see it.
Definitely. Yeah. Busyness definitely is a tool to cover up.
Yeah, for sure.
It's that band-aid. I have these struggles, but my busyness is going to cover them up so I don't have to deal with them.
I got to keep moving.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas in this season, we've all slowed down. And I know for me even, it's recognizing, oh, there's some things that I should really pray through. And as I'm sure we'll talk about later, not just pray through.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But work on.
Work on, yeah. And I think that's the other thing about this is your thoughts are good to a point, right? If I think something out loud or think something in my brain about what I should do, but never act on it.
Right.
It's a waste of time.
It is.
I hate to say it that way, but it is a waste of time. Because this passage that I mentioned on Sunday is kind of like part one of a two-part passage. And part two is actually doing it. Here's right. what it looks like to actually do it. And he lists mm-hmm. a whole bunch of things. And in the dead center of it, he talks about don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because I think grieving the Holy Spirit is more than just doing something wrong. It's not doing what you're able to do in Christ. Mm-hmm. Also grieves the Holy Spirit. Right. But that's another topic. That's yeah. another, that's a sermon for this Sunday. Right. I don't want to go down that road too far. Yeah. So how we think is so important to how we motivate ourselves and how we actually understand the reasons why we need to do what God says we need to do. Mm-hmm. And a part of that is letting go of the old way of thinking. Mm-hmm. So without Christ. So the thing for me was it was hard for me because I didn't say this on Sunday, but I grew up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
So I've always had sort of the Christian thinking. Not forced on me as yeah. such. It's more like it was just part of the atmosphere.
Definitely. Yes. I was in the same boat.
Yeah. And so you don't always question, why am I thinking this way?
Right.
Right. Because you just see that it's good and your parents taught you to, and mm-hmm. it's a good thing. But when Paul starts talking about, well, comparing it to how you used to live, like you're kind of going, hold on, how did I used to live?
Right.
I've kind of always just grown up in this.
Right.
But it's bigger and deeper than that because it does include even if you've grown up in a Christian home.
That's right.
Because there are sins of the soul that no one sees, the lying, the cheating, definitely. the way that you carry about your attitude, you know, and even how you talk. I suppose if you talk, other people hear it. But if it's rumbling around inside greed and covetousness,
right.
Then you think about the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. The first 9 are pretty obvious.
Right.
Right. But the last one, mm-hmm. if you covet your neighbor's whatever, mm-hmm. they can't, no one can see that.
Nobody sees that.
Nobody sees it except God.
Heart. Yeah.
It's in your heart. So how do you deal with that then? Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, as I was putting my sermon together, and I didn't talk about this on Sunday, is if you've come from a Christian background, if you come from where you've been to Sunday school your whole life and right. you know all the stories from the Old Testament and you know the stories from the New Testament mm-hmm. or many of them, it's all good. It's all good mm-hmm. knowledge.
Right.
It's all stuffed in your head. Yeah. But why is it there?
Right.
Why do I need to know these things? Mm-hmm. How does it affect my life in terms of what's going on the inside?
Right.
Is not always connecting the dots, right? You're not always doing that.
And even for somebody that has been following Christ for years and years, their entire life,
yes.
It's a progression for mm-hmm. all of us. And yeah. so we can look at, you know, our younger years in Christ when, you know, or it's season where we were stumbling, that we were looking away from him. And, you know, it's not a time period necessarily before we knew Christ, mm-hmm. but a season of rebellion or a season of not focusing in on him, being distracted. Yeah. And so I think those that, you know, say, well, I don't really remember what my life was like before I accepted Christ. I accepted Christ as a little kid. That was me. You know, what did a little 6-year-old, what did that sin look like? I don't even remember.
Exactly. Yeah. No.
But I can definitely look back in seasons in my life where there's been that struggle where mm-hmm. I felt, yeah, I see some futility of my thinking. I see some things that, some struggles. Mm.
Yes. And we need to use our brains. That's what God gave yeah. it to us for. And we need to think differently. Mm-hmm. And he talks about the way of life you've learned from Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, when you hear the good news, it's good news, not simply because someone is telling you something wonderful that can happen to you. It's good news, no doubt. Yeah. But the good news is not that you become a Christian. The good news is that you can live Christianly.
That's right.
So based on that conversion, based on the faith mm-hmm. that you have in Christ and the belief and the grace that God gives you, you now live out a different life. That's
right.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. It isn't just a get out of hell free card. It isn't just
right.
once that's... I die, I get to go to heaven.
Yep.
Yes, that's amazing. And mm-hmm. we don't want to downplay that, but it's a new life to live now.
Yeah, exactly. What good is it now?
Yeah.
You know, I do remember even as a young teen guy or maybe in my late teens, thinking those thoughts, you know, mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about being in hell. I don't have to worry about not being with God forever.
Right.
So what? Like, yeah. what difference does it make? Like, I got to wait till I'm dead before I can enjoy this? And so you're right. If you're grown up and you became a Christian, I don't even remember really when I did become a Christian. My parents told me that I prayed a prayer around the kitchen table, I believe. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's how it happened. But I just have always kind of grown up in that atmosphere, right? And so I have to think through, well, all right, if I've had this gift given to me, how am I exercising it? How am I, you know, how is it making a difference in my life and in my relationships and, you know, so on. So definitely, it's one of those things you got to work through. And we learn Christ when we're little. It's wonderful that we have all that good stuff put into us. But I think part of the flaw in the system that we have as a church is that we pound all these great stories into the little people's heads, which is good and wonderful, and I would never, ever want something else.
No.
However, we don't always have outlets for all of these wonderful things attached to what we know. And that's where I think the rubber meets the road, is where you actually do what you're thinking. And it's a little bit like what Paul or what James writes, where you know, what good is it if you stare intently into this wonderful godlike law,
right?
Like, it comes from the scriptures themselves, and you look at it, but then you don't do it. It's wasted. It's a useless thing,
right?
It's not that the stuff is useless; it's how it applies that's useless. Right. And so Paul, James, I keep saying Paul, but James he's onto that. Yeah. He is huge into that. You know, what good is it, my brothers? Right. You know, if you see a person without any clothes, or if you see someone who's struggling and you just say, be warm and well fed, but don't do anything.
Right.
What good is that?
No point.
It's just talk.
Yeah.
And even though it's good talk, it's right talk to care about how they, you know, be warm and well fed. That's all good. But it's useless if you don't actually give them something to help them.
Right.
So that's, I think, where this passage has to end up.
Right. And, you know, it's something, this is kind of a side tangent, but, you know, something I'm passionate about when it comes to youth ministry, because you see those kids moving from, you know, you lay that foundation with all the old stories, but then you have to then transition, because then they're starting to ask, well, what does all of this have to do with my life now?
Exactly.
And if you stay with just the stories, then you see what happens to so many, which is they leave home at 18, they go out into the world, and they leave the church because there isn't that connection. And so I think it's so vital in that in between time, those tween the teen years, where you make that transition from hear the stories that you know, and here's actually how they play out. This is what they have to do with your life right here and right now. You hear about David and Goliath, and let's move from a position of just, oh, cool, God gave David the strength to kill Goliath, to what does that have to do with me and the struggles that I face day in and day out? And so I think it's so important, you know, as parents as well, as you're walking with your kids through that, as they start getting older and they start understanding more, having those conversations to where, hey, yeah, you learned about David and Goliath. Well, here's how I, as mom or dad, read this story and how I apply it to my life, because you're making those connection points so that as they get older, they aren't just trying to hold on to these, you know, what the world would say is fairy tale stories, but there's something real and solid there in their lives.
You know, I wouldn't recommend this movie to anybody, but I do remember watching a scene from a movie where they were saying grace around the table. I think I saw it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it was some kind of a family time around the table, and they were going to say grace. And they wanted to say grace to baby Jesus, because baby Jesus is the only one that they remember. So, and they were having a big argument over baby Jesus. You know, you can't pray to baby Jesus. Yes, I can pray to baby Jesus. And you think, you know, it's crazy. It was stupid humor. And of course it was borderline heresy or blasphemy kind of stuff. But the fact is, if you strip away all the feelings of what is going on here and you just look at what they were doing, I think that's too often what people have in their heads.
Definitely.
Is they have, instead of the mature Jesus, they picture him in the manger with no crying he makes. And he's just this lovely little Jesus who loves on us from the cradle to the grave. But actually, you're right. It has to do with how you mature. Mm-hmm. You have to go past baby Jesus.
Right.
And you got to go past David and Goliath, because David and Goliath is a great story, but you weren't there.
No, exactly.
And so what? So I know.
And I'm not going to physically be fighting a
giant,
you know, almost 10-foot man. Yeah. That's just, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen with a slingshot.
Right. Yeah.
Those things are wonderful details, but who cares about that?
Right.
If
exactly.
It doesn't make me grow up.
Exactly.
And I can't apply it as an adult, which I think I enjoyed our summer series.
Oh, me too.
Back to Sunday school as adults.
Right.
And we're going to do it again next year, just so people know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes, I think that's a crucial part of this whole thing.
Right. And I think that's how, you know, you see our thinking start changing is when we allow scripture, you allow those stories to go deeper than just stories.
Yes. Amen.
It's allowing the Holy Spirit to use those things to transform the way we think.
Yep. Agreed. And not just transform how we think, but it moves from thinking to
action.
Yeah. So we've talked about Dave and Goliath. So that's a great story. And everybody that I think would know at least something of David and Goliath, you know, because even it's an expression in our culture, you know, it's a David Goliath situation.
Right.
And so, but how would I take that passage and then think, all right, well, how does it apply as an adult? Mm-hmm. How do I deal with it? Mm-hmm. And that giant was a man, but the giant could easily be a habit that you can't seem to break.
Yeah.
And you remember how David went after it. He ran to the problem.
Yeah.
And he called out in the name of the Lord.
That's right.
And he fought the battle and won, right?
Yeah.
And then he chopped off his head, which is kind of the violent part.
Right.
But, and I know it sounds horrible, and you know, it's probably R-rated if you were to watch it on a movie, but you have to deal with your sin violently.
That's right.
And I love, I was reading an article while I was preparing for the message. I'm not sure who the author was of this, but you have to deal with your sin violently. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to be sentimental is kind of how he put it.
Yeah.
And when he used that word, I thought, boy, that makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Because we are very sentimental even over our sin.
Oh, definitely.
Because we like it. It's pleasurable, or we wouldn't do it, right? So we get sentimental and we get soft and we think, oh, you know, it's not that bad. And that's where, you know, we were talking earlier a little bit about how we start making excuses.
That's right.
For our sin. And it's a little bit like he says in the scripture, the word in the new NIV is sensitivity. We lose all sensitivity, but the word there is callousness. You grow a callous.
Yeah.
You don't grow a callous by sitting in a chair.
No.
You grow a callous by getting out and weeding and hoeing the garden or shoveling something for a long time. That's where you start to see your calluses across your fingers. And as you're going through your life, if you're not dealing with your sin properly, you will grow a callousness to it. And you'll begin to think, well, I don't feel bad about it anymore. Maybe it's okay. Maybe Jesus is okay with this sin. You know, me stealing everything I have.
Right.
Everything that's not nailed down is now, you know, it's fair game.
Fair game. Right.
And we come up with these little colloquial sayings or little axioms, like, you know, first come, first serve, or however we word it. And it gives an excuse, and it creates a callus around our hearts. Mm-hmm. And eventually it's so hard that we actually, it says in the next part of this, it says that we have to indulge even greater.
That's right.
So there's this law of unintended consequences at play, as well as diminishing consequences.
Right.
So if I'm sinning by doing a certain thing and I get a callus, I have to do even more in that sin to have a feeling for
That's right. Yeah, it's that double aspect of it, you lose sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, bringing conviction, but you also lose sensitivity to the pleasure and enjoyment. And so you need more and more and more.
Yeah.
And, you know, this doesn't just happen to unbelievers. Mm-mm. This is Christians as well.
Yeah.
And I think this is why it's so important that we have to keep guard because it is so easy to build up a callousness and to make excuses and to say, well, you know, whatever. And whether it, you know, simple things, you know, in Hebrews, don't forsake meeting together. Well, we can make all sorts of excuses of why you know, it's okay for us to miss this Sunday, or, you know, kids are involved in this and this season, so we'll miss the, you know, these few months of church, but we'll get back into it. And easy to make those excuses, and then we become callous, and all of a sudden meeting together doesn't mean quite what it should to us. And that's just one example.
But... yeah, that's a good example. Mm-hmm. I think you could throw in Zoom.
Yeah.
Or Facebook Live.
Right.
Right.
Because... you know, where we have that necessary now because of COVID, but don't let it make you comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing I think I like about, you know, our video quality isn't what it could be.
Right.
And I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah, because it's not the same as live.
People wanting, and I think that's good, because we shouldn't get used to doing church alone. That's the exact opposite of what church is. Church is a community. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think in this season, it's a challenge for those that definitely, if you need to stay home, we understand that.
Oh, for sure.
100%. Yeah. But let's not get comfortable.
Yeah.
Let's not become calloused to meeting together.
Church in your pajamas with a cup of coffee can easily become very comfortable. Yes. And I wonder too, like I think I don't experience it because I'm not at home. I'm the right. one here, right?
Right.
So I sometimes wonder if I was having to face that every Sunday morning, would I pay attention? Yeah. Eventually? Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably eventually I would slowly start to go and then I'd find something else to do.
Right.
And so now I'm suddenly not even paying attention. I might have it on in the background because, you know, I'm tending, but not really attending. I'm not really, you know, clued into what's going on or praying about what we're talking about or any of that kind of stuff. And I guess I do have concerns about the way we have to do church now, because it's not the way it's meant to be. We are to physically gather.
That's right.
And we can't as much as we want to, or as many as we want to, which puts us at, sort of a loggerheads with what the scripture says. But I'm thankful for Zoom. I'm thankful for Facebook Live. Yeah. I'm thankful that, you know, people can watch and be a part of it. But I'm concerned, like you, that it feeds that whole idea of being an attendee.
Right.
Rather than a participant.
Yeah.
It feeds into the cultural mindset that it's okay just to watch.
Right.
And I think back, not from this sermon, but the last sermon, where that illustration of the, you know, watching a football game. Like, I was watching the game last night with the Browns and the Falcons. And I thought, wow, you know, this, even though the stadium's not full, there's still a few thousand people there they're allowed to have.
Yeah.
And you see the people in the stands watching the guys on the ground, and they're just huffing and puffing and sweating and grinding and hurting themselves and straining muscles. And they're doing all of that. So you've got 22 people on the field, completely in need of rest.
Right.
And you've got thousands of people in the stand watching, completely in need of exercise.
Right.
So, you know, that's probably the mindset that concerns me about this whole thing of constantly being fed via the internet.
That's right. It's that just feeds in that consumer mentality that church is something I go to receive something.
Yeah.
And yes, that is one aspect of it. We are fed on something, but that is only one.
That's right.
Yeah. And every part of the body is needed. First Corinthians tells us that.
Yes.
From the pinky toe to the hand to the eyes, every part is equally as valuable.
Especially the armpit.
Right?
Yeah. Got to have the armpits.
Well, but it said, but it does say even those that are
ignoble parts.
Ignoble parts. Yeah. We cover up. We take the most care of.
Yeah.
And so church isn't a consumerist. It shouldn't be a consumerist mentality when we approach church. Mm. It is every person is an equal member and is equally needed.
Yes. Which, again, I think back even to this passage, we didn't talk about it on Sunday, but sitting at home thinking you're at church when you're not creates, I think, is the beginning of a callous. Watch out for that.
Right.
Don't let that mentality sneak into your heart. And think, you know, this is better. I don't have to put up with any shenanigans.
Right.
I don't have to put up somebody with disagreeing with me. Yeah. I don't have to see somebody I don't like. There's a lot of reasons why you could stay home and have church, quote unquote.
Right. If the preacher goes long, I can just cut it off. Yeah. Nobody will know.
Yeah. Especially this preacher. Yeah. Man, he's past his 20 minutes. I'm done. I'm out of here.
55 minutes.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah. So but you're missing out on so much more. And that is not only just showing up here, because that's a problem too. I think our culture generally allows that to happen. It's like a spectator sport again. You come in, you've got six people on the stage playing music and leading you in worship. You got a pastor who gets up and teaches the word to you. You could literally walk out of this building from a Sunday morning experience, and that's all you'd have to do.
That's right. Definitely.
Right.
You block off an hour and a half of your weekend.
Yeah. The rest of it is for me.
That's right.
And I think that's a problem with how we do the ministry all across the globe.
Right.
Because it's turned into this. But I think if you study the scripture and you begin to realize that Jesus walked everywhere he went and everywhere he went, like my kids and I have been enjoying this whole thing of The Mandalorian. Have you seen any of that?
I saw the first season.
Yeah. So the first season, same thing though in the first season. The way it's written is the Mandalorian is, he's got a mission. He's doing something as a mission. But on his way towards accomplishing the mission, something happens. And he ends up having to do something. Right? He has to help an issue, or he has to take care of something, or fight against something.
Right?
And you see that he is walking out his mission to get to where he needs to go. But in order to get to where he needs to go, he needs to take care of all these things. And you kind of think, all right, that's the way life should be. Well, it's the same with the Christian life. You could come to church and never, you know, and just ignore everything else going around you. You can be consumed with your greed, your selfishness, your consumerism. Just get your job, get your paycheck, build your house, build your empire, and die one day, right? But if you're the Mandalorian, if you think of it from that perspective, you leave the church. And maybe you've got a mission from that experience. And so then now life begins to happen, and you have to continue to keep your mission in focus, but at the same time, find how you can use your skills and gifts in whatever area that comes up. And I know it's a Disney show and, you know, it falls down at some point, but it's still, the idea still works.
Definitely. And I think even coming to church,
you
know, we want to worship through song. We want to hear a word from the Lord through the preacher. But there's also going to be all kinds of side things that come up as you rub shoulders with people, as you're in community, that people are going to have needs that you're specially equipped to meet. Whether it's being just a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on, whatever it is. And so less of looking at as my mission is to go and to consume and then go home. We were actually just talking about this morning at Young Adults. About this idea, you know, the early church, when you think about communion, it was a meal. They sat down and had a meal together. And it was, you know, in 1 Corinthians, they were, Paul was getting onto them because they were being selfish. They were, you know, they were getting there first and they were stuffing their faces. And those that didn't have anything were left still in need because these other guys were showing up and just feeding themselves and focusing on themselves.
Getting drunk.
And I wonder how many times do we come on Sunday morning and just get drunk? We get our happy fill of church and then we go about the rest of our week and we're filled up when so many other people leave in need because we were called to minister to them. We were called to reach out, but because we were focused on ourselves, they're missing out.
Yeah, very true. Thankfully, the grace of God is very much front and center in our journey.
Yes, that's right.
Thankfully for that. It's not about just being determined,
right?
You know, being match fit. No, it's not about that. It's it's about trusting the Holy Spirit to help you and the grace of God to give you what you need in order to change. And he'll be the one to guide the changes.
Definitely.
Right? He's the one.
Yeah.
And we did talk about this at the end. I shared some of my testimony.
I loved the way that you ended it on Sunday.
And those two passages that have carried the day for me. I mean, well, three actually. There's the passage of Jesus. If something is causing you problems, your eye, gouge it out. If it's your hand, chop it off. And of course, he doesn't mean that literally, thankfully. I think there probably have been some people in history that took it literally. He's talking metaphorically. He's talking about the violence aspect. Deal with your sin.
That's right.
Deal with it. Don't play with it. Don't even pray about it. Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones said, don't even pray about it. Just do it. Just get it done. To me, that was I think for me, that was the whole thing of how to put on or how to take off the old self and put on the new self. It's little by little. It's aspect by aspect. It's day by day. And that was the second passage was from Exodus, where God tells the people of Israel, I'm going to go in and we're going to take the land little by little. And then eventually you'll mature to the place where you can go in and take care of the business yourself, which I think is hopeful, right?
You
do need to have that little by little mentality, especially when you start dealing with your sin. But eventually you mature. Mm-hmm. And then the second passage was from Zephaniah, where he tells the high priest, you know, who has despised the day of small things? Mm-hmm. And I've never, for whatever reason, I think, you know, you look at those passages and I don't really talk about them very much.
Yeah.
Because they were kind of for me.
Right.
To get over my sinful habits. Mm-hmm. And I should never despise the day of small things, how God does things in tiny increments. Right. And it seems to take forever sometimes.
Yeah.
and of course you take 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, but you still gained a step.
That's right. Definitely.
So you have to think of your changes in those ways. At least I did, mm-hmm. because that's how I had to function. Those are the passages that God gave me. And afterwards, mm-hmm. I think several people, including yourself,
right.
came up and said, you know, that was really helpful because yeah. I can see hope
in
just taking it little right. by little. Now, should we not want a miracle?
Absolutely.
I would much rather have a miracle yeah. and be completely set free from something
right.
than to have to go little by little, day by day. Yeah.
And so I think from my perspective that sharing that with our church, I was hoping that people would see that change can happen, that, but you have to do it. That's the thing. You have
right.
to actually. With prayer and fasting was one big mm-hmm. part of it. Another thing was being ruthlessly honest with a spiritual advisor, mm-hmm. someone who's like a pastor figure, right. an elder figure, or someone yeah. who's a strong believer mm-hmm. that you confide in, confess in. Because yeah. confessing the sin is part of James' healing process.
That's right.
Chapter 5, where we confess our sins to one another and the prayer of faith heals. Mm-hmm. That process has been overlooked and skipped in too much of evangelicalism. We kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater when we left from our Catholic
right.
brethren way back in the schisms that happened way back in those days.
And yeah.
And we left behind that whole confessional idea. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think it's been to our detriment. Mm-hmm. It is good for us to bear our souls to another.
That's
because
right.
it's humiliating, it's yeah. humbling, but it's also healthy and good. And
that's
when
right.
we pray for healing, it can happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you don't have to stand up on a Sunday morning in front of the entire church and bare your soul and hang all your dirty laundry up.
No, not the place.
No,
really.
You don't even, you know, as pastors, we're here, but you don't even have to come to a pastor. You can go to another brother or sister in Christ that can walk with you through that.
Exactly. Yeah. So I encourage people to mm-hmm. to see their life, to think of it as doing the change, that this is what God has given us to do. Mm-hmm. So do it.
Right.
And then to see little by little works very well.
Yeah.
But you have to pull in help because mm-hmm. we're way too sentimental. We're way too merciful on ourselves.
Right.
And we need that ruthless, open yeah. honesty in order mm-hmm. to break some of those bondages that we carry around inside of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Change our mindset. Mm-hmm. It is an active mindset that we need to have and a community mindset.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is challenging. It is encouraging. And little by little, mm-hmm. we get there. And amen. That's the promise.
Amen. That is the promise.
Hang I love on. How you said it. You know, if you go 3 steps forward and 2 steps back, you're still one step ahead. You've got the Holy Spirit pushing you. You've got that forward momentum because of Him. Yeah. Well, thank you, Kevin, for well, Sunday.
Yeah, and, good to be together.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.